from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now back to the Gabe Kuhn Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
So Luke Kennard re-upped with the Grizzlies today. 1 year, $11 million. And you know who we need to talk to about that? That would be Parker Fleming at Paga_Flocka on X. He has a free Grizzly Substack Elitist. Make sure that you go subscribe. And if you do put any money down, any monetary value, it goes all to St. Jude. So Parker, we love Parker for that and all the great work he does. Parker, what's happening, man? How are you?
Man, Gabe, I'm great. The news that Luke Kennard is coming back has finally materialized. I'm actually in the process of wrapping up my post for Substack Elitist on this news.
Right.
On June 29th, Adrian Wojnarowski said that the Grizzlies and Luke Kennard were eager to pursue a restructured deal. And 31 days later, it has happened. We are so back. I'm thrilled. I'm ready to talk about it, Gabe.
Yeah,
I'm
here's the funny thing. It. Like, full disclosure to the people out there, we waited patiently to get you on until this news dropped. Like, that was the whole idea. And it took way too long. It took a long, long time, considering what we thought was going to materialize almost immediately after the Zaire Williams trade.
Right, yeah. I mean, I don't know about you, but I was kind of in the party of like, okay, Zaire Williams trade happened. Maybe the Luke Kennard dominoes next. You know, it's on a Friday, a little Friday news dump action. You know what I mean? And, you know, over a week went by, and it's like, man. And then, you know, I'm like texting Connor, like conspiracy theorists, like, are we sure there isn't something else they're trying to do? I'm not gonna say what I thought, but now I'm just like, man, what is?
Right.
But also too, at the end of the day, there wasn't a whole lot of urgency, especially if both parties were in agreement of like, okay, we want to bring this back together. And then also to the fact that there's also, there's no acclimation process. It's not like you're having to get
right
acclimated with the team. He's been with them for about a year and a half. Like, I don't think there's anything to where it's like, yeah, we had to do this as soon as possible. I think maybe it was one of those, okay, let's see how the market shakes out. Because if you re-signed him when the Zaire Williams trade dropped, you would have eliminated yourself from the possibility of what was reported of being in the mix to bring back Tyus Jones. Like, he wouldn't have been able to do that. Whereas, like, at least with kind of waiting, you guys could see how the market shook out a little bit and identify any other further pathways to bolster your team. And I'm sure they probably did all that, did their due diligence before re-signing Luke Kennard. And now they re-signed Luke Kennard. And now we just wait for media day in September.
Yep, they have all 15 active roster spots all figured out, all their two ways figured out. What do you think about the valuation of the contract? $11 million. I thought, you know, the longer this went on, and looking at, like, Tyus Jones and what he signed, $3.3 million a minimum. Gary Trent Jr., he signed for, I think, a minimum as well. I thought that maybe they'd drive this price down. It was a little more. It was a little more than I thought it would be.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I didn't know what to expect. I expected somewhere in this ballpark. I thought the whole time of, like, okay, if they're trying to trim money off the luxury tax, like, get away from the first apron, and, like, you trade away Tyus Williams, I kind of thought, okay, they've got to give him something worthwhile as far as, like, I thought somewhere between $9 and $10 million annually would have been a good ground. I thought, I don't know how the optics would have looked on the player side of, like, hey, we're going to opt out of your $15 million roughly team option to re-sign you to a $6 million deal. I don't know how that would have looked. But also too, I got to say, I know people will use, like, Tyus Jones, Gary Sherman as an example. I do think those are unique circumstances. Where, like, for one, Tyus Jones, I guess the reporting through his agency was, like, that he got offers, like, quadruple what he would have gotten or what he got in Phoenix. But Phoenix offered him the chance to start and start for a team that
and he's been wanting to do that.
To contend. Yeah, so they offered him, like, Tyus Jones, for him, he valued starting and winning over money. And then Gary Trent Jr., you know, after he found out he wasn't going to get the money that he was going to get, that he was commanding, he decided to take a job in Milwaukee that, again, offered a starting spot. He's back with Damian Lillard, like he was in Portland, and it offered a situation where it's like, hey, if I go here and ball out for a team that's supposed to compete for a title, I can get that money that I was looking for in 2025. So, I mean, and again, like Luke Kennard, I think this is a good flexibility for both parties because, for one, Luke Kennard has the opportunity to enter free agency again before he's turning 30. And for the Grizzlies, it allows them to continue navigating and bolstering this roster in the midst of all these luxury tax apron worlds that we're living in now. So I think it's a good number for both parties. So that's kind of where I stand on it. Like, yeah, it might have been a hair more than we all projected given the market and all that. But at the end of the day, Luke Kennard's been statistically the best three-point shooter in the league over the past five seasons, like shooting 45% from three over the past five seasons collectively.
Yeah, pretty good.
That's pretty good. I'll pay that mark for a shooter when you are statistically one of the worst three-point shooting teams in the league.
Yeah, and he has shot 48% from three in a Grizzlies uniform. That is overwhelmingly good. But when we talk about, like, what this means for the luxury tax and the aprons and everything, I think I saw Chris Harrington say that it was $1 million over the first apron, or you're into the luxury tax. I think I saw Keith Smith saying you're going to be right at it. There's some misnomers. I think it's, you know, very close. But how do you understand this when we talk about luxury tax implications?
Yeah, so they are, from Keith Smith, they are about $1 million into the luxury tax.
Okay.
That is not the first apron. The first apron is $7 million over this luxury tax. So
okay.
In that regard. And, you know, I think the thing that's important here is that you don't have to, if you don't want to pay the luxury tax, you have until the trade deadline to get out of it, which is good. And I think at the number of $1 million, you're not going to have to do anything seismic to do so. Like the guy that they just required in the Brooklyn Nets Zaire Williams trade, Mamadi
Diakite.
Diakite. Okay, Diakite. But Diakite, you know, he already had some of his contract guaranteed from the Mikal Bridges trade. And so I think about a little under half of his contract is left to be guaranteed. But the Grizzlies could easily find a trade with him. Like, obviously they could waive him, but I don't know if they'll want to waive. I don't know if they want his just the rest of his that dead money on their books. I'm sure they would prefer to find a trade. I do think a team to kind of watch in that situation, like with the whole like Lauri Markkanen stuff, like if the Jazz do find the right trade for Lauri Markkanen, they have a cap floor they have to hit, and the Grizzlies and them could easily negotiate like, hey, let's just trade this guy for cash considerations or something. Like, I don't think it requires like a second round pick salary dump or anything because the number is so low, you know, mm-hmm. But there's stuff like that they can do. Obviously a guy that I'm going to continue to watch in the trade market is John Conchar, just because of his salary number, but also kind of where he stands in the rotational pecking order right now. Like, I think now he's slotted back into that next man role, but you know, I don't know if he's going to be prioritized over Jake LaRavia and Scottie Pippen Jr., for example. And at $6 million a year, that's another guy that I'm looking at. Like, okay, with the Grizzlies' financial situation, can they afford to be paying $6 million a year to a guy that's more often than not a DMPCD? I'm not sure. John Conchar's a good basketball player, but when you're kind of looking at the money, you gotta navigate where you can. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, I think this number, it's solid for them in the fact that they aren't married to the luxury tax, and if they want to get out of it, it's going to be easy to do so.
That's the one thing. Like, this number, it makes it easier if everything does not go according to plan and you want to make some moves around the trade deadline. This is a very tradable contract that you could navigate a trade with. You could use the $11 million that you have there with Luke Kennard, expiring deal, to go make something happen. Which I think is sort of maybe that was a thought process behind the scenes with Zach Kleiman and company.
Yeah, that could be. Obviously, it gives them a little bit more trade flexibility. I think you've also seen this out there of like teams are signing players to bigger contracts. I think this was used with Josh Okogie and Kenyon Martin Jr. of like their human trade exceptions, essentially. I think Luke Kennard's better than those guys, and it's a little bit above that description of a human trade exception. But like, if the opportunity presents itself for a worthwhile trade, that $11 million is a nice number where you can pair with, it depends on the player, obviously, but let's say if you're trying to get into like a $20 million player,
yeah,
you do Luke Kennard, John Conchar, and Santi Aldama or Jake LaRavia, and you're right there, you know? So that's another facet too that you got to look at is the flexibility of making other moves. Like, if the Grizzlies feel like, hey, our three-point shooting is where it needs to be, our half-court offense looks good, but let's get one more player that we feel like is a surefire, malleable player in multiple playoff matchups than Luke Kennard, then you can make that trade. But again, you got to see how they look. Like, let's say, Gabe, what if they're the one seed at the trade deadline?
Right.
Is it worth trading away a rotation player for a guy that might make your team better? I don't know.
Right.
So, again, all things considered, I think this is a good win-win for all parties involved.
Yeah, and I will say this. It is kind of crazy. I was reading to Michael Cole's sort of write-up about the Luke Kennard signing. It is kind of nasty how badly the Grizzlies have shot the three-point ball in the Zach Kleiman, Taylor Jenkins era. Their highest finish in this era has been 17th. That is just not good enough to be, considered a viable playoff championship level team. We know that Luke Kennard can definitely help them get over top in that regard. Now, when we look at the rest of this roster in general, you put this out there. So you have Ja, Bane, Jaren, Smart, Edie as your potential starters. That next five, pretty damn good. Clark, Vince Williams Jr., Santi Aldama, Luke Kennard, G.G. Jackson. I think there's a lot of national writers and reporters that cover the NBA that are going to look at that and finally realize, okay, the Grizzlies, if they have good health luck, good injury luck, they could be very, very scary in the Western Conference headed into next year.
Yeah, and I think the thing that's fascinating too is the ceiling behind it beyond, like, obviously there's the ceiling aspect of, like, injuries, especially with this particular team. But, and especially too, like, you have, like, Kennard with his knee, and you have Brandon Clarke returning from his ruptured Achilles. But, like, what does this team look like if Zach Edey is, like, at the level of, like, a good starting center? Or, like, right. What is this team if Santi Aldama takes a leap? And I think Santi Aldama could look better than last season with now the presence of a real point guard in John Morant. Not real point guard, sorry. Like a bona fide starter level and above point guard in John Morant. Like an All-NBA point guard. But also, too, like G.G. Jackson, Vince Williams, like those guys did not play with John Morant a whole lot. So, like, what do they look like next to John Morant? You know, so, or even like Desmond Bain, like G.G. Jackson barely played with Desmond Bain. So it's a facet of it of like, okay, this team's ceiling is perhaps higher than we expected with already having this floor. Like you see, you hear Zach Lowe from ESPN use the terminology with the Grizzlies, regular season wins machine. That indicates, hey, this team has a high floor. But I think people will learn soon that this team also has a higher ceiling than people realize.
Right.
Like, if things shake out how you think they could shake out, I think they're a tier one team in the Western Conference with the Oklahoma City Thunder, Minnesota Timberwolves, Denver Nuggets, Dallas Mavericks.
Yeah, I think I'm with you. Now, what do you think about just generally, like, when we compare this to the rest of the Zach Kleiman era and the Taylor Jenkins era and the John Morant era? I know that, you know, 2 and 3 years ago they were 50-plus win team, second in the West. This roster compared to those rosters, do you like it more? Do you like it less? Is it right on par? Where are you at with those rosters?
I like this roster more, truthfully, because you have more shooting, you have more offensive firepower without sacrificing that defensive versatility. For one, like obviously we both love Dylan Brooks. He was all defense player, but now you're getting Marcus Smart in his place. And then two, you have improved Desmond Baines. You have improved Jaren Jackson Jr.'s. Like, and also too, you have more size and shooting on the wing now with G.G. Jackson and Vince Williams Jr. And then technically like Luke Kennard also. Like, I don't know. I think this roster's floor and ceiling is higher than any we've had in this regime. Yeah. And also I think too, when you're pointing that out, like, yeah, you could go at it like 10 deep, you know, mm-hmm. and come at those conclusions. I mean, granted, some people might have been more bullish on D'Anthony Melton, Dylan Brooks, and Kyle Anderson with like, pump the brakes. But at the end of the day, the reason why this is the truth that this roster is better is because they're the leaps that Desmond Bane and Jaren Jackson Jr. have made. The Desmond Bane and Jaren Jackson Jr. that the Grizzlies have now is not the same Jaren Jackson Jr. and Desmond Bane that existed in the 21-22 season.
Yeah, and here's the other thing. Even though we've been talking about three-point shooting, I already mentioned that, you know, the Grizzlies' highest finish in the Zach Kleiman and Taylor Jenkins era is 17th. I think that another conversation that always came up with half-court offense and in the playoffs, they didn't have much creation offensively outside of John Morant. Now, you mentioned the Bane and Jaren Jackson Jr. leaps on the offensive end, but you probably have six guys deep that can go create their own shot on the offensive end. John Morant, Desmond Bane, Jaren Jackson Jr., Luke Kennard, G.G. Jackson now, and we'll see what he looks like. I'm definitely curious to see how he fits alongside all of the different starters and the role he's going to be in, but he definitely can create his own offense. And then I think even to a smaller extent, Marcus Smart can do a little bit of that when you ask him to. It just feels like they have more creation than they've had in the past. Not even talking about three-point shooting. They just have guys who can go get to their spots and make some open jumpers.
Yeah, and then even then, too, like, if you're talking about, like, the Marcus Smart and Dylan Brooks trade-off, Marcus Smart's a better playmaker. You now have three guys in your projected starting lineup with Morant, Bain, and Smart that can create for their teammates at a starting NBA guard level. And then also, too, I want to point out another dynamic in there that doesn't really matter maybe in the grand scheme of things, but, like, think about the offensive creation difference and offensive firepower difference you have with like Kyle Anderson and Santi Aldama.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
I just think that this team is just certainly better. I think their upside's higher than it's been. Granted, I've also been in the camp of like, I mean, I thought in the 22-23 season before Adams went down, I thought they could win the championship. Uh-huh. And I also thought maybe 21-22. I was like, they have a shot, you know? Obviously, it was one of those, all right, we got to see them do it first. But I think now it's like, okay, I've seen them win a playoff series. I've seen the improvements. They have three all-star level players. This team can win a title. And I think that's what these moves kind of signal. Like, you're 10 deep. Like, that 10-man rotation idea that I mentioned in that tweet, like, that's a contender. Like,
yeah.
I don't know what else you could suggest that you'd want. Like, I don't, like, sure, you may want a veteran big man besides Zach Edey, or you may want that 3-and-D big wing, but, like, this roster's good. This roster's perhaps, it could even be really good. They could win 55 games again. So, yeah, more important, all in all, successful offseason. They retain Luke Kennard. They address their need at center. And they have that financial wiggle room that they were seeking. I don't think you can ask for much else, really.
Talking with Parker Fleming at @Paka_Flocka. Make sure you go subscribe to Substack Elitis, his free Grizzlies Substack. Now, with the luxury tax implications, you said they're about $1 million into the luxury tax. But going forward, I hate to be sort of master of the obvious here, but how damn important are the G.G. Jackson contracts, the Vince Williams Jr. contracts, those types of contracts of the world, not just for the Grizzlies, but for the rest of the NBA? I think Scottie Pippen Jr. could potentially be a guy that has a contract like that as well. How important are those going into the future?
Yeah, I mean, it just kind of goes to show you the importance of winning around the margins. And you've seen teams in the past where they make all those stellar moves. They trade for Kevin Durant. They trade for Anthony Davis. They trade for James Harden. But the thing that slows them down is their ability to hit around the margins. Or let's take, for example, the Los Angeles Clippers. I read a very good article today on 213 Hoops from Robert Flom about how the Clippers' inability to win a championship in the Kawhi, Paul George era was because they failed to hit around the margins, specifically talking about the draft. And when you find these guys on two-way contracts or in the second round or even with the 30th pick in the draft with guys like Desmond Bane and Santi Aldama, you're adding depth. You're also adding upside. And with these luxury tax rules getting more and more harsh, finding value wherever you can is incredibly important for sustainable success. And that is the message that the Grizzlies front office has preached since they took over in 2019. They want sustainable success. So getting guys like Vince Williams and G.G. Jackson, the contracts that they're on, very soon, within the next year, we could see that too with Scottie Pippen Jr. and Cam Spencer. I mean, even in the past, I know I just said something about his next contract, but like John Conchar, when they signed that initial 4-year deal, it's a really good contract.
Yep.
So, and also too, worth noting is finding your starting center with Zach Edey potentially. He's only going to be making like $27 million over the next 4 years.
Right.
You know how insanely valuable that is? Like, I know, like, yesterday's show, you and Connor were talking about Jaren Jackson Jr.'s next contract. Like, finding Jaren Jackson Jr.'s front court mate who's still going to be on his rookie deal when Jaren's next contract hits is going to be insanely nice.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, the margins are so important when you're trying to win an NBA championship. And I think the Grizzlies could very well show that.
Now, we've seen a lot of minimum contracts around the NBA where guys would normally make, you know, probably $10, $15, maybe even $20 million a year. I feel like the middle class right now is losing out in the NBA. The middle class is dying slowly but surely. But like, I know that this is sort of the first year, first offseason, where a lot of these NBA teams are getting used to the new luxury tax implications, the new CBA. Do you think that we'll get more used to it as we get down the line? Or do you think every offseason will be similar to this offseason, where some good players, the Tyus Jones of the world, the Gary Trent Juniors of the world, they'll continue to make the contracts that they've gotten this offseason, round the minimum, maybe barely over the minimum?
I mean, I think the thing that's going to help it more is the new TV deal that's been coming.
Sure.
It's going to cause roughly a 10% spike in the cap in like the first three offseasons.
I'd imagine
that they'd help it out.
Because that's the maximum, the 10% spike. I'd imagine they'd be right around that full 10% the first 3 years of that deal, right?
Yeah. And I think one thing I'm going to be watching for, too, is are we going to see more of these Brunsons that take less money for their team to build a championship? Granted, I'm always about getting your money, make the most money you can when you can. But do you, especially with some of these contracts entering like $80 million annually, like I saw somebody say that Victor Wembanyama could be like the first $100 million a year player. I'm like, let me just find like a non-Grizzlies example. Let's say Luka Doncic has the ability to make $80 million a year in his next contract. Does he settle for 60 or $65 million annually to help them pay Derek Lively? You know, honestly, probably a bad example, but that's the kind of stuff that I mean. Like, do some of these stars with as high as these max contracts are going to be getting, are they going to take pay cuts in order to A, bolster the team's ability to build a contender, but B, also kind of, I guess, quote unquote, help that middle class that you suggested?
Mm-hmm.
But that's the thing I'm going to be watching for. But, I mean, I think the TV deals, it's going to make the cap so high. And I think by then, teams will have a better understanding of these apron rules where, like, I think this offseason, kind of like 2017, might prove to be more of an outlier year where it's like, okay, we're trying to figure out these new cap rules. We're pretty stuck here. So, and teams or players that are free agents in those – particular off seasons may get the short end of the stick.
Yeah, I just feel like, I mean, the thought here would be that everybody, you know, previous to this offseason was operating under the old rules, and maybe this is a transition period. But still, just looking at the CBA, how, you know, clean cut it is, how obvious it is, and tough it is to sort of navigate, I just wonder how every offseason from this point on is going to go. Now, last thing for Parker Fleming, @Paka_Flocka on X, you brought up the new TV deals. I was reading to Michael Cole's story yesterday in the Commercial Appeal saying that the potential for nationally televised broadcast television games for the Grizzlies in particular could go from 15 to 75 going into next year. I think the question now becomes, and this is completely off the floor, this has to do with the consumer, what's going to happen with these RSNs? What is that going to look like here coming soon? I'm not saying you have the answer, but isn't it strange where we're headed? I sort of wonder what the future of Bally Sports is going to be, the future of a broadcast with you know, Pete, Brevin, Rob, and Chris Vernon. I'm curious how that's all going to shake out.
Yeah, I mean, I just hope Jeffrey Bezos saves us all and just buys these RSN feeds. So
buy Bally Sports. Work out a deal with Diamond Sports Group.
Just be like, hey, let's go on Prime and watch today's Grizzlies game.
Yes,
I think the thing I'll be watching for specifically with the Grizzlies is, you know, Utah and Phoenix have kind of had some in-house options.
Yep.
The Grizzlies owner owns a networking company, and they have their own media conglomerate, the Bryant City Media. Surely that's a pathway, an alternative to these RSN, Bally Sports, Diamond stuff, right?
You would think, but is that another? Would that be another subscription on top of everything else?
Right, and then like you know, there could be different packages. Like the Grizzlies could say, "Hey, you can watch for $2 a game." So it's like, oh well, I can't watch like I can only watch 40 something games a night because of my shifts. Or like 40 games a season because of how I work.
Yeah.
Maybe I just buy a game or something every now and then. Or do you have it's like, all right, you pay $100 a season, or like if you're a season ticket holder, like it's automatic.
Yeah, throw it in. Your, yeah,
like that. Honestly, that's one way to drive up the season tickets. Like, oh, hey, like I'm already. Like, and even then, have it at a discounted rate where it's like, if you have season tickets, you get all the away games for this amount of money. Like, I don't know. So
there are ways to navigate it. I just don't know which way we're going to go. I just don't know which way we're going to head. And the unknown is always a little bit scary.
Yeah, and especially, too, like, the Grizzlies are such a good broadcast team, man.
Yes,
like,
110%.
I want it to all work out to where – we still hear Pete and Brevin.
Yes.
So
I'm fully with you. I am 100% with you. But, Parker, I appreciate it, man. We'll do this again soon.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Gabe.
Yes, sir. That is Parker Fleming at @Paka_Flocka. He covers the Grizzlies, has his own Substack. It is called Sub-Sack-A-Litis, for those that don't know. But it is free, so you can go subscribe to it. And if you want to give money to it, you know where that money goes to? It goes to St. Jude. Parker Fleming is a great human being, and that's another example of why he's a great human being. But let's go ahead and grab a break on that note. And when we come back, we're going to hop into the Blitz. And John Morant, we know this offseason, he got a new agent, Lyft Sports Management. There's a guy by the name of Mike Miller that represents him. Now, you may know him. You may know him. It's possible that you do know who Mike Miller is. But Mike Miller has his own podcast, and he spoke up on Ja, and he spoke highly of how Ja's progressing. We'll come back with that sound and react to it next. 92.9 FM ESPN.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.